Are you ready to create a balanced, joyful life, rich in purpose and meaning? Do you long for a deeper connection with what you're doing, who you really are? Creating a Spirited Life with host Janet Kasanek explores the everyday experiences and encounters that puzzle and enlighten us. Guided by new ideas, perspectives, and at times humor, you'll create the harmonious, spirited life you're meant to live. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Creating a Spirited Life will enrich your experience and ease your way through this work in progress we call life.
Welcome to Creating a Spirited Life. I'm Janet Kasanek, your host, and you're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. This show is heard live every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. You can also tune into this show on our internet station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, where we're heard weekly on Thursdays at 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining the conversation on Creating a Spirited Life, where we bring together our thoughts, questions, and perspectives on a variety of topics and issues that help us discover the meaning, purpose, and joy that comes from creating and living a spirited life. Listeners, you're invited to call in with your thoughts, comments, and questions throughout the show. You can reach us here at the studio at 617-237-1234. And you're invited to be in touch through my website, spiralenergies.com, in between shows. Leave a comment, request a show topic. You're welcome to sponsor a show or listen to previous broadcasts, all at spiralenergies.com. And please like my Facebook page, Creating a Spirited Life, where you'll see regular Wednesday's Wisdoms postings, other things of interest, and announcements. And according to Facebook's analysis, over 25,000 people have viewed the Wednesday Wisdom posts I put out every week since January. So join the followers. Go to facebook.com/creatingaspiritedlife. Well, our topic today is water, tending our sacred element. My conversation guests for this show tonight are Dr. Judy Safrir and Anne Fitzgerald. Judy Safrir is a Harvard adult and child psychiatrist and psychoanalyst with a private practice in holistic psychiatry, astrology, and the tarot. Judy has been my conversation partner on two other shows, Consulting Spirit Guidance and Support for the Divine, which was in September of 2013, and also Connecting with Self, It's an Inside Job, which was in March 2014, both great shows. Judy lives in the Boston area, and you can learn about her through and her work through her website, judysafrirmd.com. And the spelling of your name is on my website, Judy, so people can catch that then. Judy, welcome back, and thanks for joining me today.
So glad to be here.
Oh, great to have you. And we're also welcoming Anne Fitzgerald for the first time to the show. Anne is the co-founder of Spirit at Work Globally in Waltham, Mass. She serves as a spiritual midwife and guide for successful women who sense there is something more than that they are being prepared to contribute locally or globally. Very amazing thought. Building on her years as executive leadership coach and an organizational consultant, Anne now combines her intuitive and channeled wisdom to help discern what they are called to do and how to respond. And in particular, Anne's global engagements in Africa, Iraq, and India have given her a keen understanding of the preciousness of water, and this is in part why we're so pleased to have you with us, Anne. She's been a facilitator for religious leaders discussing access to clean water at the Parliament of World Religions, and she is now discerning how to respond to Spirit's invitation to be a guardian of the water in her own life. Anne, welcome.
Thank you, Janet, for inviting me.
Oh, we're so pleased to have you. And again, listeners, you're so welcome to call in with your thoughts, comments, and questions during the show, and we invite you to join the conversation. The number, once again, here at the studio is 617-237-1234. So, water. Let's set the stage. I want to play this little moment with my rain stick, and we'll see how that sounds. There it is, the water. We almost had, we're expecting some water in the Boston area with some intense rain coming up. And we are here by the water. We took a walk by the water before we came into the studio. How was that for you ladies?
It was beautiful to see all the people out enjoying the water and all the boats.
Yes. Yeah. And
a refreshing favorite place for so many in the summer of restoration and relaxation. It's such a gift.
It's really crowded out there, isn't it, in Marina Bay? Well, the element of water is something, yeah, I think calls to many of us. And I love being by the ocean. I love walking by the Charles River, visiting Walden Pond, all these wonderful water areas in the Boston area. Excuse me. And the water element has been calling to me lately because there's a lot going on with water. Anne, can you talk about that for a minute?
Well, I think one of the things that's occurring with water is that globally, the climate change issue has made us so much aware, more aware of water. California is so eager for rain and so parched and drought-stricken. Many other parts of the world also are very much under shifting climate destabilization patterns due to usually lack of rain. But the impact is not because of their own doing. It's because of what's happening to the climate as a whole. And it's severely impacting many, many peoples.
And what's happening to the climate as a whole is because of what we're doing. You know, it has really started to concern me, as it should, and inspired several questions. You know, what are we doing to the planet? What are we doing to it? How can we regain our consciousness about water? And I think that one of the ways to do that is to touch into the sacredness of water. Judy, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, in many different religious traditions, water plays a very central role. There's a beautiful ceremony in the Jewish tradition that's called Tashlik, and it takes place on Rosh Hashanah, and that's the new year, and the tradition is to gather old stale bread and to go by flowing water and to imagine that the bread is your sins that you would like to cast off in order to have a fresh start in the new year. So that's one of the ways that water is used in ritual in the Jewish tradition.
Yes, yes. What about Christianity?
Well, certainly in the Christian tradition, water, because of its cleansing properties, is used in baptism, and traditionally that was by immersion. In the Catholic tradition, it's now by infant baptism.
But with just sprinkles, sprinkles of water.
Well, the water's actually poured over,
over
someone's
head. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But it is about the cleansing from sin and the birth into new life. And but it isn't just Judaism and Christianity. In the Muslim tradition, they too use water for cleansing before prayer. And interestingly, with Native Americans in the sweat lodge, they pour the water on the hot rocks as part of their ceremony. So it's a deep, water is a very much a part of the ritual of many, many of our traditions.
Yes, and one of the primary things we want to do on our show tonight is really touch back into what is so sacred about water, because these are sacred traditions that may not be particularly on our consciousness, or we might think about the ritual but not about the water element of it. And it's let's remember that, let's revive our appreciation for that. Water is one of the four primary elements in Native American traditions: earth, wind, fire, and water. And it holds equal weight and importance in sacred traditions of and understanding in Native American. Also in the acupuncture world, you know, there's the five element acupuncture system, and water is the element associated with the season of winter. They identify five seasons, so our normal winter, spring, summer, and fall, and then there's also a late summer season. winter is the element, is the season for water. And this is a very poetic and symbolic way of looking at the body and the system. You know, our body is about 55% to 70% water. So naturally, an acupuncturist would be aware of that and working with that fact. But the kidneys are the primary organ that is associated in that system. And I came across an interesting passage in a book by Tom Ballas talking about five elements, acupuncture. And it reminded me about the really kind of the poetics of and the energetics of water. He talked about our vitality expressing itself like the varieties of water in nature. So just think about that, our vitality expressing itself in the varieties of water in nature. Frothy and bubbly like a mountain spring, clear and sparkling like an alpine stream, he says, steadily flowing like a powerful wind river, brooding like the dark, still waters of a marsh, running as deep as the ocean. If you just take that much and think about how our energy, our energetics, our moods are all reflected in just that much about water, it's a very interesting view to remember ourselves through that system.
And very evocative.
Very evocative. Yes, yes, absolutely. And there's a water element associated with the tarot, is there not, Judy?
Yes. In the tarot, traditionally there are four suits, and the suit of cups is associated with water, and it's linked with all kinds of qualities that are watery, like intuition and with feelings and sensitivity. So all of the cards that are cups have that quality related to them.
Interesting. And astrologically?
Yes. In astrology, just like you mentioned, the four elements, there are 12 signs in the zodiac, and three of them are associated with water. The sign of Cancer, which is ruled by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk a little bit about the archetypes of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, which are the water archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is a sign that is very personal. It's all about emotion and sensitivity. It's linked with the mother and with nurturance and food.
Mm-hmm.
Very concerned with security and with the comfort zone. And
we're in Cancer right now, are we not?
No, right now we're in Leo.
Oh, okay.
Right now we're in Leo. The sun has moved into Leo.
Okay.
Wait, it's the 19th, though. We're still in Cancer.
We're still in Cancer. For another day or two,
right.
Yeah.
We're still in Cancer. I don't know why I was thinking that.
On the cusp. Yeah. Getting there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that is, and every archetype has a higher and lower vibration. So the lower vibration of Cancer would be something like neediness and immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scorpio is ruled by Pluto. And it has a very, very different energy than the archetype of Cancer. And it's associated with a kind of hunger for growth and evolution and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often, that desire is often fueled by difficult experiences like loss or abandonment or rejection. And those experiences cause an individual to seek greater empowerment.
So there's a lot of emotionality, it sounds like, attached. And I'm struck by the mention of the mother in the Cancer because I was thinking about the energetic modalities that I use for healing work. And the Lumerian energy is considered a divine mother energy, and it is a water element energy. So there is the sense of water and flow. Let's just talk about some of the qualities around water, because flow is certainly one of them, and these are such important energetic qualities. Purification, we mentioned earlier. Any others that come to mind? Or not?
Well, I think when we think of water, we think of refreshing. There's a and newness, and you know, we think of after rain of how you go out and it all smells new.
I was thinking about that custom in the Middle East of hospitality, of washing the feet of a guest.
Wow, yes. So that, I mean, how sacred is that?
Right.
That it's beautiful. And, you know, there's the waters of creation in the biblical texts. And there is the amniotic fluid.
In the birth waters.
In the birth waters, So, you know, water. It is the element of creation. And, you know, as we said, we're made up of water. And let's move to, you know, holding this sacredness of water, remembering how we should be honoring water instead of maybe disdaining it. I hear people so often saying, oh, it's raining again today, and I'm so sick of the rain, and I don't want... Or even when we need rain, people will be saying, oh, I can't, I'm so upset that it's raining. We need to sort of remember how important and vital rain and water are to us and start to shift this dynamic, because not only is our physical body made up of 75% of water, but the water covering the Earth's surface is about 71%. So there's almost a similar percentage, which I think is like our physical body that we carry around and the physical body that we live on. There's a great correspondence, and that's just interesting. It's just quite intriguing.
I love to garden, and whenever it rains, I'm always so grateful because the garden is so dependent upon the rain. It makes all the difference in the world about how the plants are if it rains enough.
Right. Well, along with honoring and remembering how significant water is as a sacred element, let's talk more about how it is for us as a physical element, because I have a feeling that in our culture we've come around to taking water for granted.
I couldn't agree more, Janet. I think we, especially in this country, we take it totally for granted, that we simply turn on the faucet and there it is. And that unless we live in California or in a drought area, we have it for our showers and we have it for our dishwashers and for our washing machines. And
freely to drink from and
in whatever way
stir into our soups. And, you know, it's just there. And even in California, there's a drought, but pretty much everybody's opening their tap and they're getting water out, right?
Well, and I think we feel entitled to water. That has always been part of what we've known. So we don't have a sense of being in a relationship with water.
Right.
When I spend time with my African sisters in Kenya, many of them will walk 8 or 10 miles to get water for their families and then carry that water on their heads back to their villages.
That's going to be a whole different relationship with water.
A totally different relationship with water.
Yeah. Keep going. What were you going to say?
No. And it's just that there's a whole preciousness about water. I was fortunate enough that I grew up on the Great Lakes, and I didn't realize that how the Great Lakes are the largest bodies of fresh water in the whole world.
Are they really? I grew up on the Great Lakes too, but I didn't remember that. I think I did know that at some point, but. That's
no,
amazing.
But and you don't realize that they don't exist on other continents. And the second largest Great Lakes, much to my surprise, is in Africa, and it runs through parts of Kenya and Uganda and some other countries in that area as well.
Right. So there's the water on the surface of the planet, and then there's also the water underneath the surface of the planet. These are called the aquifers. And what is this I'm hearing, that we're tapping into those and taking water out of them faster than they can replenish themselves? What's up with that? I mean, this is really scary.
Well, I don't really know that much about it, but I know that when there's fracking, that it uses an enormous amount of water.
And can contaminate the water, right?
And can contaminate the water.
Yeah.
And that we really don't know the long-term effects of both using the water and of the contamination.
Right. Well, this takes us into, you know, there's the issue of reminding ourselves of the consciousness of water and coming back to it. But then there's a great deal more about the physical water that are really big challenges for us. And you have identified, or in our conversations at least, that we have started considering water as a using water as a commodity.
Well, I think that when you use the word commodity, it's what it really says is whoever can get to it and use it for their own ends or their own profits first, mm-hmm. Is somehow entitled to it. So I remember a conference I attended to a number of years ago, and what they talked about was the fact that water will become the new gold, that the wars will be fought over water, not over
gold
and minerals and
mm-hmm.
land,
mm-hmm.
and that those who have access can deny access to neighboring states, to neighboring countries, by building dams, by shutting it off, and seriously jeopardizing both the livelihood and the well-being mm-hmm. of people in other countries. I think there's also a way in which, up until the time that the Environmental Protection Agency and some of the environmental consciousness came around, anyone who wanted to dump anything mm-hmm. into the water felt free to do so, whether it polluted or jeopardized the health and well-being of humans, plants, animals, or mm-hmm. the ecosystem
right.
that it was surrounding it. But I think the most outrageous example of commoditization that I heard recently was an attempt by companies to containerize water from the Great Lakes and ship it to Asia.
Wow. Ship it to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, there's much more to talk about this, and I think such a key word that you were mentioning of entitlement. I mean, this is the attitude of our culture of the planet, you know, that the resources, all of the resources are here for our use and our disposal and our entitled attitude to them. And this is what I think is such a major concern. But we're going to stop for a quick station break, and we will be back in a few minutes. Please stay with us and stay with this conversation. Thank you.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenick of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Janet Kesnick, and this is Creating a Spirited Life, where I'm speaking tonight with Judy Safrir and Ann Fitzgerald. And our topic is water, tending our sacred element. I think there's a significance in that word tending, because it says to how do we tend something? You know, we pay attention to it, we listen to it, there is an energetic flow in tending a relationship. And I'm thinking that our relationship with water is not in such good balance. We have not tended it well. What do you think, ladies?
Well, my sense is that we haven't thought about a relationship with water at all, at least as I speak for myself.
Right.
I use it.
Yes.
It's something that is there for me.
Right.
And what I'm beginning to see is that I need to be in relationship with water,
yeah.
That you can't tend something that you don't know.
Right.
And this is about, if you will, the getting to know you, not just intellectually, but the getting to know what is this element water, and what about its preciousness,
right.
And what about the fact that we cannot survive without it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What about that? Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. And this recognizing that we're out of right relationship with all of the elements. I mean, look what's happening with the air. Look what's happening to the land. With the animals. I mean, all of the physicality that is there on our planet is really in turmoil or on its way there.
Right. And when you talk about relationships, you talk about mutuality and you talk about reciprocity.
Yes.
And we have none of that with the resources. We treat them as objects for our use and not as though there is some kind of consciousness in them that we need to respect and to maybe ask permission before we take.
Right.
Give thanks and appreciation just like you do in a relationship.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, when I think of relationship, there's also a quality of respect. Do you know that it's sort of the foundation for good relationships?
Yes.
And it's funny to say the question, but how would I respect water? How would my life be different if I were to
do that? And, you know, as soon as the question is asked, it really is not that hard to answer, and at least in my own simple individual life. just by doing this show and having this on my consciousness, I've been tending to my watering my dishes differently, you know, and instead of running the, I mean, I've never been, my mother made me actually very conscious of water when I grew up in Ohio, because we had a well for our, you know, in the ground well, not, I don't want it to sound like we lived, you know, with a wishing well here, but there was a well that fed the water into the house. And my mother would be very, very careful about how much water she would use when she washed clothes. And she would say, you know, don't run too deep a bath. Run one every day. You know, you can have a bath, but don't fill up the tub. She was very careful and she was aware. So I, as soon as I start thinking about conserving on water, I understand some of the principles. I remember visiting my brother-in-law in Los Angeles years and years and years ago, and always they've been aware of water in California. And I remember saying to him, oh, I bet when you brush your teeth in California, you don't leave the water running while you're scrubbing away, do you? He said, oh, no, water on while you get the toothbrush wet, scrub your teeth, spit, turn the water on, and that's it, you know. And that was years and years ago before there was even the drought that they have
now. And now with the drought, I heard that people, like, don't just, like, turn on the shower and wait for it to get hot and let the water just run down the drain, but they catch the water as it's heating up, and then they use it later to water the plants or to flush the toilet.
Right, right.
It's very different than how we typically act around here.
Yeah, yeah. So it's true. I mean, if you want to create a relationship and come back into right balance, I mean, the indigenous cultures really saw the elements as deities. I mean, they worshipped the rain. They tended the soil. They did rituals to honor all of the planting season and to call in the water, and they honored the rain when it came. I mean, it's very different, and we really need to connect with some of that in some version within ourselves.
Yes, and they also had an understanding that the water belonged to all the people and to all living things, because it isn't just us that's dependent on it. The whole living ecosystem is dependent on it.
Right.
And so that we only use what we need.
Right.
So that there's enough for all to thrive.
Well, and I think this is such a crucial point, because it is the both and. This is me and everyone, and connecting into the whole as well as the individual, because I think that many of us can be quite guilty of thinking about ourselves and our needs for ourselves and our family and our yard and everything else, and forgetting the balance of the entire, the planet, and not even just the planet today, but the planet in the future. So it's through all of time as well as the present, and for all people and animals and plants and the sky, as well as for ourselves. So we've got some work to do to shift around with this.
I was thinking before, when you were commenting about rain, that how interesting it is that just think about our languages around rain. I don't want rain on my wedding day. I don't want it on my picnic. I do want it in California. I do want it after I plant my new flowers.
Right.
So rain is at my beck and call.
And we're taught as children to sing, rain, rain, go away, come again some other day. You know, it's like, go away, come again some other day. What did you mentioned something about, it's a blessing?
Yeah, in the Jewish tradition, when there's a wedding and it rains, then it's a symbol of blessing and fertility.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. It is. Where it is for the fertility for the planet, isn't it? It's so important. So we need to renew, relearn, reestablish, cultivate right relationship with water and all the elements for our whole physical environment, and to see it not just in service to ourselves. I mean, I think that the key words to think about are, do you consider that rain and the elements are something that we have ownership over, that we have entitlement for? It's almost an enslavement, you know. It's just there for our purposes, and you know, this is not where it's going to go. It's not going to be helpful. What's an answer for this, Anne?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that there's an answer. I think that when we talk about coming into relationship, that is one of the pathways that will take us there. That I think that we've got to be in a place of both gratitude, so that when it rains, when we have water, that we're thankful for it, that we see it as a gift, that we see it as life-giving, that we appreciate that it's precious, that you hear all those qualities that of seeing water differently, of being with water differently. And I think as we live that way, we raise each other's consciousness around water.
And experimenting with a different relationship with rain. I always carry my umbrella in case it's going to rain. God forbid my hair would get wet, you know, or my glasses would get wet, and then I can't. And
I'm laughing because just a few weeks ago I had an experience where we were up in Maine and it rained, and we went out and ran around in the rain, and it reminded me of when I was 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And my mother would let me leave my bathing suit on and stay out when it started to rain, and that sheer delight of experiencing rain as magical and feeling it on your skin and of knowing that what a very precious gift this is.
Right. It is amazing. That feeling of walking in wet grass when you're not worried about getting your toenails, your painted toenails wet or something. But
or how good it smells when it rains.
Oh, it does. And the sound of it is wonderful. I was
very soothing.
Very soothing. It's beautiful. Like the rain stick. Shall we listen to that again?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's call that back in. Here we go. You know, this is an instrument, actually, from the cultures, some of the equatorial cultures. And I use it in healing treatments. I place it over a chakra and pour the water in. I remember one woman telling me that she just experienced this cleansing of her third chakra when I poured this, held the stick over, and it sounded like the water was pouring right over her. It has a very, very cleansing, healing, nurturing, purifying energy just to be washed over by the rain. It's amazing. Judy, was there anything else about any other elements? I'm trying to say astrological sign.
I mentioned Cancer and Scorpio, but there's a third.
Yeah, I thought
water
we didn't
sign,
get to one, which was
Pisces.
Pisces, yeah.
And that's ruled by the planet Neptune. And Neptune is the god of the sea.
That's right. There's also all of the mythological elements around, you know, mythology around water, too, in the story. So go ahead.
Right. So Pisces is related to the idea of connection to the all and to the all that is and to nature in its very raw and natural state. Is related to the idea of cosmic consciousness.
Wow. So that, you know, that feels very ocean-like to me, and the expanse of that and the depth of that. So water takes us to the depths also. It's harder for me to imagine the height of the sky and the air, but the depths of the ocean, it's just an astounding place to go into, thinking of the whales there and the life that's in the ocean. Well, so much more to explore and to hold. So hold the consciousness of water while we take our next break, and we will be back shortly to tell a story about Anne.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenick of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
For staying with us. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Janet Kesenick, and this is Creating a Spirited Life, where we're talking about water, tending our sacred element, and really coming back into a very different relationship than what we've had, an old relationship of entitlement and enslavement, really, water becoming a commodity. And something that is really becoming an element that could become a power struggle for people. Changing that relationship by reestablishing the significance of water sacredly and as a physical element. And what about from the psychological world? You know, we've talked about astrological, some significance with water and with the tarot. What about from the psychological world,
well,
Judy?
Well, very often patients will dream about water. Mm-hmm. They'll dream about rivers or streams or basements filling up with water or tidal waves. Mm. And from the psychoanalytic point of view, that very often is a representation of the unconscious and of feeling welling up, and in the instance of a tidal wave, very powerful feeling. But shamanically, in dream work, it's not really seen in quite the same way. But if a person dreams about water, it's a power dream. It's, it's a symbol of great power. The elements, when you dream of an element of the air or the fire, it's a sign of power.
Really? That's very interesting. And it sounds like it would be a in relationship, right? The person would be in relationship with the element, or just the element appearing in the dream?
The element appearing in some kind of way is some kind of symbol of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. And you have a story about your connection with water.
Well, yes, and I'm. It's interesting because of you mentioning the shamanic piece and the power of the power and empowerment of having a shamanic encounter with water, because that's exactly how it happened for
really?
Me.
Really,
I was on doing a journey with a shamanic teacher, and during that time, I met a doe. And
a deer,
and the deer was standing by a stream, and the deer told me that my job was to protect the water that she was drinking, and that I was to go up to the headwaters and to make sure that nothing would enter the water coming down from the headwaters.
Foreign elements, yeah.
Exactly. And then when I got to the headwaters, she said, now you need to go further. You need to go up into the cosmos and ensure that nothing falls out of the sky in the rainwater that will fall and contaminate this stream.
Because there are all those airwaves and that are carrying pollutants, and then the rain carries them into the water.
Exactly.
And
it's fascinating. When you go on the internet, you can actually see the climate waves of how things are carried from one part of the world to another.
Through the wind.
Through the wind.
Through another element. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
And as this occurred, the message I heard from the doe was that I was to protect this water as if it were the last living stream on Earth.
Oh.
A rather both dire but significant message.
Profound.
That's a better word. It didn't feel dire. It really felt very profound. In saying how important it was, and clearly the invitation to be a guardian of the water, that it was not sufficient to know from an intellectual point of view what was happening with water, how it was our life was dependent on. It was time to come into a relationship with water.
Well, guardian is such a profound word. I love that word, and it links right in for me with the word from our title of tending, you know, because the guardian feels very, obviously very protective. It feels very empowered position, and, you know, it's a different word for me than defender. I don't know. I like the word guardian. Did it strike you as well, the word as well as the message? Or?
Well, the message and the word felt like an important charge, but I know nothing about being a guardian. And I also, this conversation is really a part of what I'm growing into, of how do you have a relationship with water, and of asking myself that, and how do you notice things differently? How do you listen differently? How do you show up? How do you pay attention?
Right.
I like the word invitation, that you're invited, so you can be a guest and figure it out.
Yeah. And when a guest comes to our home, we orient them to the home. You know, this is where the bathroom is. This is the kitchen. This is my porch. You're welcome to sit here. So you will be oriented as you go along, right?
No, and it's yes, exactly. I'm being oriented as I go along.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice water in places that I just would not be paying attention to.
Right. Did you mention once that you keep a bowl of water on your dining room table now?
I do.
Just a bowl of water?
I felt like it's as a way to remind myself that I was to be paying attention to water, that I needed to have something physical that I did each day that said, yes, I'll honor this commitment and I'll grow into what it means. So... Each day.
You're on a path.
I'm on a path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this path, and I have not been personally called to it, but it resonates with me. How about with you, Judy?
I love it a lot, and I love the whole exploration aspect of it, and the being comfortable with not knowing but feeling some kind of calling that you're responding to and finding your way.
Mm. Would it be all right, Anne, if we were to be deputized as guardians with you?
I think it's critically important.
Yeah.
I think there need to be many, many who become guardians of water.
Yeah.
I think there need to be many of us that restore that relationship with water as
stand
a primary,
up for water.
As a primary element,
yeah.
As something to be honored and revered and protected.
Yes. Both energetically and literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the point today. This is an energetic issue. Recognize the sacredness, and that is an active relationship. That's not just, oh, water's wonderful, but it's really an active, as is true of any relationship that mm-hmm. is that matters to us. There is an active part involved, as well as the consciousness that manifests, right? So I would like us to take a moment and do a short meditation to become,
this sounds wonderful.
To become guardians of the water and mm-hmm. to come back into relationships. So I'm going to invite us all to take a cleansing breath, and I'm going to use my water chime here for a little opening. It has kind of a mysterious quality, as the depths of the water do. And I invite you to take a nice cleansing breath again, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And there we're conscious of the air element through our breath, one of the four elements as well. If you have a glass of water close to you, take a look at it. Take a sip of it. Honor it. Notice it. Be aware of it. And let's invite ourselves to take a moment now to dedicate ourselves to do all of the things we've been talking about in this show, to relearn the meaning of water, to renew and reestablish our right relationship with the water element and all of the elements on our planet and within ourselves. We have the physicality of our bodies, as there is the earth element. We have the water that permeates our bodies. We use air as we breathe, and fire is the passion that we have. So all of the elements are within us as well as without from us. And let us connect that within and without. Let us take a moment and become the guardians of the water, who defend and protect and restore the right relationship that tends and ritualizes and is more respectful and honoring of water rather than being wasteful of water. So invite some symbol to connect this for yourself. Walk by a river soon. Just see yourself right now by the water, in the water. Take a wade in the water. If it rains and it's not thundering and lightning and it's safe outside, just go outside and absorb some of the water. Be with it and enjoy it. And I think we'll take another breath and start to wrap up our show. So we are on our way, ladies. We're going to do a different relationship with water, and we invite all of our listeners to activate that as well. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Judy, so very much for being with me today. We'll be back. Creating a Spirit of Life will be back on the third Sunday of the month in August, which is August 16th, and I will look forward to being with you then. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and see you next time. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Janet.
Thanks. It was great.
Many blessings. Blessings and grace. And thanks to Mason. Thanks for your help tonight.
Life happens moment by moment, one experience at a time. With the right perspective, each encounter is meaningful, brings purpose and satisfaction, and moves us on the path toward the life we're meant to live. Join Janet Kasanick for Creating a Spirited Life every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Learn more by finding Janet on Facebook and on her website, spiralenergies.com. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.